The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here. Let's start things off with our 7-7 top headlines. Trae Young leads the Atlanta Hawks to a game one victory in Milwaukee, 48-11-7, as the Hawks take a 1-0 series lead.
Kevin, effortless 48 points. Amazing. Like at the end of the game, I didn't even realize he had that many points until they showed the final marker. 48 points, 10 of those coming from the free throw line, 4 3-pointers made, 17 of 34 overall from the floor in a game one, which it seems like they are road warriors here, going on the road in Philadelphia, taking a game seven, flipping it right over to taking down the Milwaukee Bucks in game one. An ultra impressive performance and a fun series here, because the one thing I didn't want to see as a fan of this series, Kevin, is the Bucks to go up 2-0, you know, win game three against the Hawks in their home court, and here we go off to the NBA Finals. It's nice to see some adversity for the Milwaukee Bucks, but last night, another game, another impressive performance. Trae Young, amazing.
Trae Young staking a claim to the best player remaining in the playoffs. One of the finest performances we have seen during this postseason, and for a player of that age, only 22 years old. Sticking with the NBA, Chris Paul very, very likely to return to the lineup for the Phoenix Suns in tonight's Game 3 versus the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, the rich get richer, it seems like here, Kevin, right? You go up 2-0 in your series, don't have, theoretically, your captain on the court. Now he's going to return back healthy. And it's not even from an injury per se. It's like, I wonder how he's going to play off of a knee injury. Mm-hmm. We'll see how healthy he is, how in shape he is after missing about a week off. But veterans do know how to take care of their body. I don't think he will skip a beat in this one. Good news for the Suns. He comes back for game three. But I hate to think of the Clippers here on the opposite side, who should be going back to Staples, at least 1-1. But Chris Paul coming back into the series, now a favorite again in game three for the Phoenix Suns.
A lot of people wondering if Suns in four will continue. Ooh. One more final NBA headline. The Boston Celtics named their new head coach, Ime Udoka, coming over from the Brooklyn Nets coaching staff here. Brad Stevens hiring his own replacement.
I like it. And this guy has paid his dues here. Played in the NBA 7 seasons. He coached under Popovich in San Antonio, goes over to Brett Brown's staff and then over to the Nets. So he has obviously been working with a lot of stars, a lot of different coaching staff. Seemingly, the Boston Celtics players loved the hire, and that's all I need to hear. Stevens moves into the front office. Looks like he should be a good head coaching replacement. We'll see what happens in 21-22. Disappointing season for the Celtics. Maybe they turn around and get a little bit of a boost from the new head coach this year.
It's going to be really interesting as well to watch the coaching staff in Brooklyn potentially continue to change. Udoka hire, Jock Vaughn's name being tossed around, Mike D'Antoni very likely to get a job as well. That coaching staff was loaded there in Steve Nash's first year. How about in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the New York Islanders force a game number 7, beating the Lightning 3-2 in overtime.
Amazing, amazing stuff. And this is what dreams are made of, as we like to say. Not many people thought the Islanders would have even made it this far, but also heading back to their own barn in game 6, you get down 2-0. Oh, it's a nice run. We'll close down this place in style with a loss, move into our new arena, but not so fast. Game 7 on deck. And as we say repeatedly, Kevin, this is where guys are going to step up and shine. And if you have a lead in the series, you better close the door, is when you leave it to a one-off game like you're going to have in Game 7, a goalie can steal it. Should be fun to watch to see it play out. But good for the Islanders and good for hockey that we see Game 7 here, Kevin.
We welcome the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks for listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the Mightier 1090. All of our radio affiliates out there going through our 7 and 7 top headlines on a Thursday morning. In the world of Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros won their 10th straight game, beating the Baltimore Orioles comfortably 13-0.
Yeah, it looks like they're barnstorming around Major League Baseball. Usually a barnstorm to make a point like, hey, we're a really good baseball team, but this seems just like a tour where we know the fans are going to hate on us and we're actually feeding off of it and doing some damage here. Where this streak actually stops, I don't know, but the bats are hot at the plate. If you're a DFS guy, it's a lot of fun because everybody's seemingly batting 300 in that lineup. Impressive performance. The train's coming down the track here, Kevin, and it's the Houston Astros.
It's incredible because last year, a lot of their hitters stunk, so you missed the opportunity to boo them. They still somehow ended up in the ALCS, and now they're just phenomenal. Whoa. Oh, I hate it. The Padres sweep the Dodgers incredibly. They keep that Dodgers offense in check. The Padres were favorites in 2 of the 3 games, and they held serve at home.
Yeah, good for them, and they really needed this because now not only shows from a mental standpoint that they can hang with the Dodgers and beat them in a series where they absolutely need to take it, but also from a Dodgers perspective, you could have done some damage here by reverse sweeping the San Diego Padres, and maybe the Padres make changes at the deadline saying, hey, we tried the superstar team, it's just not working. Good for the Padres, good for the NL West. That's going to be a fun division to watch as it plays out throughout the summer. Maybe 3 teams, Kevin, from that division get into the playoffs. Amazing.
Certainly plausible. Last headline here, France claims the top spot in Group F on the final day of group stage play. They draw against Portugal, Germany drawing against Hungary. All 3 of those teams advancing to the knockout stage.
Yeah, looking forward to the knockout stage because no longer are you saying, hey, let's just get a draw in this game. Let's sit back. 1-0 will be fine. You're looking to pulverize the team that you play. The cream rises to the top. We're getting closer and closer, Kevin, each day for a winner in Euro 2020. Excited to watch.
Yeah, and now with that bracket set, I think we can start to look a little bit more into the futures market for an outright winner, something that we will certainly be discussing here on the show. We'll take a break, though, and come back and preview today's Major League Baseball board.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're right back here on the early line. Time to take a look at today's Major League Baseball board. Some interesting happenings today. We'll start it off with the first game that'll be going off on the slate, an early one with the Yankees and the Royals here. Yanks are minus 200. The total is 10. Donnie, I want to ask you something just again from kind of a philosophical standpoint when you're making bets here. The Yankees as a team on the season are 11-18 in day games. Is that something that you would ever subscribe to? Ah, oh, listen, this team just can't wake up early. They can't roll out of bed. Is that enough to make you fade a team or maybe at the minimum leave them off a card potentially?
No, it doesn't. Like, if you're just looking at that statistic and saying, I'm going to weigh that heavily into how I cap my games, absolutely goes into, Kevin, zero of what I actually like to look at here. But the one thing I do sometimes trade off is, if I have a game of equal balance, and one is a 1 o'clock game, one's a 7 o'clock game, I always lean towards the later game, because baseball players are a creature of habit, and you tend to get better lineups later in the day, because when you have a turnaround from a late night game to an early game, sometimes you don't have the full lineup intact for a Major League Baseball game. But to your original point, I don't put any weight or stock into how one team plays or another during the day.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I think it can be interesting, but also we're still very young into this season here. As far as this game today, minus 200 on the Yankees, while I think they get the job done, I don't think Tyone has necessarily earned that number next to his name here. You're betting on the offense. It's a little bit easier than to, you know, do what Donnie typically does here. Take a team total. That Yanks number, Donnie, is 5.5. Keller has given up 5-plus runs in 3 consecutive starts now. I think the Yankees will be putting runs up on the board today.
They should be able to do so. Here's the breakdown that I like about this game. Take a look at Tyone on the mound here for the New York Yankees. If we look at his numbers, his xFIP is extremely high, Kevin, a 5.06. You want that number down in that 3.5 to 4 range. But if we take a look, he's a decent strikeout pitcher. Here's the issue that you have. If you're looking to bet the Royals today, Jameson Tyone really struggles with left-handed batters. Plate appearances versus lefties this year, he has 113 of them. A 391 weighted on base average coupled with an ISO power number of 250. So if you have a left-handed stacked lineup, you can do some damage here against Jameson Tyone. The projected lineup for the Kansas City Royals this afternoon, Santana's a switch hitter, hold back from the left-hand side, O'Hearn's a lefty, and also Lopez. That's only 3 out of an eligible 9 batters that are going to come from the left-hand side. When you flip it over to the right-handed batters for Jameson Tyone, very good. 289 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 162. If he manages those 3 lefties in the lineup, they should be fine. Flipping it over to the Yankees and taking a look at them, Keller, a 4.54 xFIP. Not disastrous, but not great. But equal opportunity going up against him, Kevin, from both left-handed batters and right-handed batters. From the left-hand side for Keller this year, he is a right-handed pitcher, 378 weighted on base average and a 181 ISO power number. Flip it over to the right-hand side, 362 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 169. The Yankees are a market favorite for a reason. If Tyone just pitches average today, Kevin, they should win this ballgame.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one to watch there. Early, early Yanks action as well. I want to talk about the two biggest favorites on today's board. We'll start with the night game, the Dodgers and the Cubs here. Again, I've seen this a zillion times. The Dodgers are minus 255. A lot of that is they're the Dodgers. They're home. Walker Buehler's on the mound. A portion of that as well has to be, well, the Dodgers just came off getting swept, returning home. They must be winning tonight. What do you make of Buehler versus the Cubs here on the night game?
Yeah, Buehler not officially confirmed just yet, which is fine, but it does look like he is going to be the pitcher. He's the better pitcher on the mound tonight. But we also take a look, Walker Buehler, an xFIP number of 4.10, high strikeout numbers, 24% of the batters he faces, he has struck out. But also when you take a look at equal opportunity, as we just talked about in the Yankees game, he's very good to both lefty and righty batters, Kevin. Weighted on base average from the left-hand side, 291. Weighted on base average from the right-hand side, 220. So when we flip it over, the advantage should come from the Dodgers here, finally getting back home and seeing if they can put up their customary 5, 6, maybe 7 runs. The lineup for the Dodgers of what's anticipated looks very good, and Davies with a high xFIP number of 5.46 doesn't strike out a lot of batters, Kevin, under 15%, which means the balls are getting into play. Particularly righties have gotten him a little bit with a 340 weighted on base average. But every time you read the lineup for the Dodgers, it's hard not to take them. So if you're riding them in the San Diego series, obviously he came up with an 0-for-3, but Betts, Muncy, Turner, Bellinger, Smith, Beedy, Taylor, and Lux, it's hard to go against them, particularly with Walker Buehler also on the mound, but it is an expensive price.
Yeah, I think, again, you're going to probably see a lot of run line tonight with the Dodgers, another team that people are going to look to bet the run line on, but this is about as expensive as a -1.5 as I remember seeing during this season here. The Astros -1.5, -142. They are -220 today as they head to Detroit, Donnie, with a total of 9.5.
Now, we look at the total here, and that brings up an interesting point, because you do think the Houston Astros should win this game comfortably, but I have to tell you, when we were talked about the Detroit Tigers a couple days ago, we have some of those games where you lay down, hey, I got to lay down with a dog to get some fleas in this one and still win a game. Detroit came to play with their bats the other night against the St. Louis Cardinals. Take a look tonight. Not to say they're going to win this game, but maybe from a team total perspective. Garcia the righty will be on the mound for the Houston Astros. He's got a pretty good K number. 28% of the batters he faces, he strikes out. That matches up very well with the Detroit lineup. But where you get to Garcia on the mound is from the left-handed side of the batters. 331 weighted on base average, a 218 ISO for Garcia, who is a righty against lefties. Let's take a look at the Detroit lineup tonight here, Kevin, from the left-hand side. Lefty in Grossman, lefty in Candelario, lefty in Badu, lefty in Mazzaro, lefty in Castro, lefty in Castro. Yes, I'm not repeating myself. There are two Castros in the lineup tonight. A lot of left-handed batters tonight to go up against Garcia. So if you say, you know what, I don't know if I want to take or get in front of that Astros freight train and bet the Detroit Tigers to win, but I have to say, Kevin, they might put up some runs here on the Astros.
Which I would not be mad at there. Their team total is 3.5. Again, the game checking in at 9.5. Yeah. One more baseball game I want to bring up. The Rays and the Red Sox. Tampa Bay, -130 with Waka on the mound against Pivetta. A total of 9. Again, if you listen to Donnie and I on In Play Sports tonight, you know that we look at everybody other than the Rays, typically, when we're looking to bet some overs. But perhaps times are changing here, Donnie. What do you make of this matchup today in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, the Tampa lineup looking much better day to day. Nick Pivetta, the one thing you can say about Pivetta, he's a steady pitcher. He's not a shutdown pitcher. And when you're betting team totals and totals, this is what you like. So when you get a good performance out of Nick Pivetta, if he goes 6 innings and gives up 3 earned runs, you're still going to be in the ballgame for probably a total and also a team total from that side perspective. 11% walk rate here for Pivetta. There will be guys on the pond, as we like to say. But if you flip it over to the opposite side, Michael Wacha on the mound at 4.87 xFIP, which isn't very good. Not a high strikeout rate, which is under 20%. You have some pretty good batters in the lineup tonight anticipated for the Boston Red Sox. Waka is a right-handed pitcher. How do the Boston Red Sox handle righties? Let's take a look at the first 5 guys in the lineup, Kevin, using an ISO power number. Keep in mind, 0.170, about the average in Major League Baseball, so anything above that is fairly good. Santana to lead off at a 190 number, Verdugo 219, Martinez 282, Bogarts 236, and Rafael Devers a 352. We might get some damage in here. And it's crazy to think, usually you avoid betting Tampa or overs like the plague down in the Trop. Maybe we're turning the card here over in the summer saying, now wait a second here. There might be some value on the Rays at home here and some of these overs.
It's certainly plausible. Yesterday, I got left stranded on a Red Sox team total over. Rich Hill walked 5 batters in the first 5 innings, and all they could muster up was a run. But perhaps coming back to Boston today could make some sense. Or again, just bringing them both together as the Rays are starting to put the ball in play a little bit more. I want to bring up this Stanley Cup playoff odds quickly here, and we can expand on the other side. But with the Lightning going to a Game 7, with Vegas being down 3-2, this Stanley Cup playoff board is very interesting, Donnie. The Lightning plus 155, Montreal is plus 310, the Isles are plus 350, and Vegas 4-1.
It's interesting. If I'm looking to bet right now, I still like the Lightning at plus 155 and also coupled with a 4-1 number here on the Vegas Golden Knights. They got to win Game 6, and you could get a pretty nice ticket here heading into the finals, bearing Tampa Bay winning and getting to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I'd love to see what an exact result market would look like. We come on back. It's time for Take It or Leave It.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's time for Take It or Leave It here on the Early Line. We just closed out last segment talking about the odds to win the Stanley Cup. And things are really interesting as the Lightning are being forced into a Game 7 with the Isles, and the Montreal Canadiens are up 3-2 on the Vegas Golden Knights, who were heavy, heavy favorites coming into this series. They still are favorites in Montreal tonight. Donnie, take it or leave it, the Canadiens will close out Vegas at home in Game 6.
I'm going to leave it on the table, and that just comes from me, you know, in the previous segment saying if I'm looking to look at odds for the Vegas Golden Knights and I like them at 4-1, why would I say that it's going to be extremely hot or I should take it for the Montreal Canadiens to close them out in Game 6? But I have to say, when you're looking overall game to game to game in this series, Kevin, Montreal is the better team here. Montreal is at home in this game. Montreal knows they better close this out because you don't want to go to a Game 7 in a party atmosphere like it will be in Las Vegas for the right to go to the Stanley Cup. There will be a lot of pressure on the Canadiens tonight to get this done because all of Canada is waiting for their first Stanley Cup since, what, 1992 at this point? And, oh, yeah, the last team to do that from Canada, 1992 Montreal Canadiens with Patrick Roy. Can they get it done? I think they can. But I am going to leave this one out here on the table at this point because when I'm looking at it overall, I think Vegas is a better team, even though they haven't showed it yet in the series. We need another Game 7, Kevin. We do. We need two Game 7s here in the NHL.
Yeah, I would love to get another Game 7 here. I'll say, though, like, I wouldn't bet Vegas at minus 146. A lot of times we'll do this and I'll be like, listen, no, I think you go grab Vegas on the series price. They'll get, even if Vegas wins tonight, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they would win Game 7 on their home ice. They have not at any point been, look, they're clearly the better team. Like, the Lightning and the Isles are going to go the full seven, right? And I think even an Isles fan would say, the Lightning have looked better, but we don't care. It's three up. Let's, you know, winner take all. Like, Montreal has looked like the better team against Vegas. If you really wanted me to back Montreal tonight, Donnie, minus a goal and a half for the Canadiens is like plus 340. I'd rather take a big old swing, whether it's an empty netter or they just dominate Vegas again. I'd rather hang out with them at a plus 340 number than just kind of a slight plus 124.
I agree with you on that. I do. And by the way, the thought process behind that -1.5 in a closeout game, Kevin, is what? 2-1 Montreal lead late in that game. What is going to take place from the Vegas Golden Knights? They are going to pull their goalie with 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 minutes to go in that game to try to get the equalizer, or else they are going to be sent home. So the winner of this game for me on both sides, puck line isn't a bad option. Now, we know if you get to overtime, obviously that puck line is going to go out the window. Sure. But if you pick the correct winner inside of the full 60 minutes, there's a really good chance you're going to get an extra goal coming from the empty net and a big price to be paid if you take that puck line -1.5.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game to follow, no doubt about it. We go over to Euro 2020. We mentioned that we would be bringing Cristiano Ronaldo back up here on the show, who took home Hero of the Night honors for his brace against France, tying the all-time men's national team scoring record and cashing a FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost at plus 250 to score in that game. Ronaldo is now minus 140 to be the top scorer at Euro 2020. 5 goals in this tournament. Next closest, a couple of players with 3 goals. Minus 140 to be the top goal scorer, Donnie. Take it or leave it.
I'm going to take it today because if we take a look right now, you know what's going to happen. Ronaldo gets at least one more game here. He's 2 goals clear of the next, you know, group of guys with 3 goals. There are a lot of talented guys behind him with 3 goals, but let's just say we know Ronaldo always takes the penalty kicks. If he scores one more goal in one game, and even if they don't win Portugal in advance, that's going to give him 6 goals here and a 3-goal lead in that title. So is he going to win it outright is the question? Is he going to finish tied? Because somebody technically right now is going to have to outscore him by 3 goals to take that lead. I don't think it's going to happen. Give me the best goal scorer in the world to win this with a 2-goal lead already, Kevin. Taking it. I'm taking it. How about you?
So this is where I guess maybe at times I overthink myself. I'm leaving it because I think there's a better bet on the board. Ronaldo minus 140 to be the top goal scorer. He's plus 140 to score against Belgium. He's scoring. That goal gives him the all-time men's national record. I don't care. He is finding a way to score. He's not. We're not putting that record off until any other tournaments down the road. Not that this is going to be CR7's last hurrah here on the national stage. But, Donnie, how much do you really like that minus 140 number if he doesn't put one past Belgium, especially considering that they are favored to be eliminated by that Belgian side? I really believe that plus 140 on CR7 to score against Belgium, I don't want to say it's the same as the minus 140 number here, but you wouldn't like that minus 140 if you didn't cash the plus 140.
It's a good thought process behind you, and you're much smarter than me, and you know your brain is much younger and still works and functions. So when I take a look at this number, what you're saying is exactly correct. But me just looking at Ronaldo to be the top scorer in Euro at the 140 is the bet that I would be taking here. But as you talk around this, it absolutely makes sense, because my thought process is, even if he plays only one more game, he's going to score one goal, which in a turn says, now wait a second, why would you take the minus 140 when if you think he's going to score in the next game and that's what he's going to need to win the actual goal-scoring title in Euros, why wouldn't you just take the plus 140? Mm-hmm. It fits hand in hand. It's a better price the other way, but how it's written up there, I can only say I will take Ronaldo to be the top scorer, even if I'm not getting the best odds. And another bet, as you astutely pointed out, is still out there.
Yeah, I'm absolutely cheating, by the way. Like, to answer the true question, It is a take it. I think at minus 140, I like a guy with a two-goal advantage that I absolutely like believe will score next game. I'll also just add, if you wanted a little bit of value down the board, Emil Forsberg of Sweden has 3 goals in this tournament and is 50-1 to be the top goal scorer. The reason I bring up Forsberg is Sweden is a favorite against Ukraine. If Forsberg can score there, plus advance at 50-1, again, potentially you can do some damage with a number like that. That's going to be a fun market, though, for us to continue to follow. All right, we keep it moving here on Take It or Leave It. This is a Donnie special. We used to feel like do this with Embiid. Would he play 40-plus minutes here? This is a topic that I know Donnie loves. Will Kawhi Leonard make an appearance in the Western Conference Finals? Donnie, take it or leave it.
I'm leaving it on the table. We're getting updates on game days that it's not even like he's questionable and he's going to work out. It's basically, no, not tonight. And then you wait 2 days and they go, no, not tonight. So am I led to believe that he's even practicing at this point? Are there any beat writers in the NBA that are on it saying, hey, just saw Kawhi shooting a couple shots? Because you're right. When we equated it to Joel Embiid, oh, torn meniscus, he probably won't play again. He's going to get surgery. Now, wait a second. He's warming up as if with no knee brace on. He was never injured. And he just played a 7-game series, taking down 40 minutes in each game. I don't know what's going on with Kawhi Leonard, but if you're looking from a Kawhi Leonard perspective here, right, and you even want to increase those odds, if you think the Suns are going to win tonight and go up 3-0, there's no way Kawhi Leonard is making an appearance in game 4 down 3-0. It's not going to happen. And also, what is the diagnosis? Is it a sprained knee? Is it a slight tear of something where if he plays in this series that he could do more damage and miss the entire 2021? And let's also keep in mind, this is another short off season. We're already extending the NBA season heading into 2021 with a fast turnaround. He's not going to make an appearance in this series. And especially, Kevin, if the Suns win tonight, that makes it 3-0. We won't see Kawhi. I'm leaving that on the table. Kawhi, just give me the diagnosis. Sit it out. Come on now.
It's a leave it for me as well. I just want to expand on how wild this all is. Kawhi Leonard sat out the final 4 minutes in a game 4 against the Utah Jazz, was then interviewed post-game on the floor. They asked him if he was okay. He said, yeah, no worries, I'm all good, just getting a little bit of rest. He then went into the locker room after that game, told his team, hey, I'm probably done for the postseason, be prepared to play without me. He then doesn't play in either game against Utah. He doesn't travel to Phoenix, yet they still thought necessary to officially rule him out for game 2. He wasn't in Phoenix. Of course he was out for game 2. We've now ruled him out for game 3. What are we even doing here? Like, I get it, right? Like, Mike Conley, every single game was questionable here. Mike Conley actually came back. It was some hamstring tightness. At least, like, yeah, Harden's doing pregame workouts. Joel Embiid, torn meniscus, pregame workouts. Anthony Davis couldn't walk, pregame workout. Where is Kawhi? Like, Donnie, does anybody even know, like, if he is around? Is he, like,
yeah.
This just feels crazy that we are, like, doubtful out on a guy that's not even in the state of where the game is being played.
It's baffling to me because you are correct, right? It's always like you can equate it to all sports here when college football teams go on the road and be or NFL teams go on the road. This guy's not going to play. Well, how do you know that? He didn't get on the plane to travel to the next city. Yeah, there's a pretty good chance he's not going to play in that basketball game. But you're right. Where the like is he working out? Do we even know if he's getting shots up? Is he like already vacationing somewhere in Barbados and we just don't know it? That's how secretive it always is around Kawhi Leonard and has been that way for quite a while, Kev.
It's so bizarre. Like, if they ruled Kawhi in, like, would we have a minutes limit? It's just so like, it's one of those things by, like, I'll just say this. If you'll notice, the odds for the Hawks to win the title is the same as Trae Young to win finals MVP. The odds for the Clippers to win the title is not the same as PG to win finals MVP because someone out there knows, I don't know, maybe Kawhi comes back. Who'd then be like the favorite to win the award? We'll come back. We'll preview tonight's game against the Suns.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk about some fourth-year guys, Adam, that are up for deals.
With Baker Mayfield, here's a guy that struggled for most of his first 2 years, was terrific last season under Kevin Stefanski, the new head coach. They don't need to do anything. Remember, he is signed through 2022. He has a fifth-year option. And then if they wanted to, they could use two franchise tags. So they don't really need to do anything now.
The Sports Grid Network. The early line.
Do you think that that might be something that becomes more and more prevalent in the world of golf? One-offs, head-to-heads, the inclusion of some outside athletes as well, being a big part of growing that game?
Well, the rumor today is that they're reconsidering that event. They're replacing DeChambeau with some caddy who's never played golf before, so maybe he can pick up the sticks. DeChambeau, they couldn't find him. He's on the back nine trying to find his lost game, soul, character, and talent. He's trying to pick it up somewhere. Assuming he finds them, I think it'll be a great idea. And regardless of whether it should have been promoted as a cage match or not, it's good for golf. The one-on-ones are good for golf. You can see how important the special events are, whether it's after the pandemic or not.
Weekdays, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on the Sports Grid Network.
All right, we're right back here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Time to break down Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. And the biggest story of this game is that Chris Paul is very, very likely to return. FanDuel Sportsbook posting props that suggest CP3 will be a full go. The Suns are road favorites at 1.5, minus 118 on that money line. Total at 221. Donnie, I want to start, though, with Chris Paul before we even get to the side, before we even get to the total, because CP3 comes in and it changes numbers. You know, Devin Booker's assist prop, 6.5, down to 4.5. His points prop drops. It just, things change when Chris Paul returns. From a props perspective, which you and I are dabbling into more and more each night on In Play Sports Tonight, with CP3 returning, Do you think the angle or the edge is to back Chris Paul, fade other players whose minutes he could cut into, or just step away from it as a whole and let at least the game play out?
The smart move would be to step away and, you know, let the game play out, but trying to get an intricate look at what Chris Paul brings to the table when he's back in the lineup, I wouldn't necessarily, Kevin, fade the guys around him, because we're talking about a guy that's probably going to have double-digit assists. So from a Devin Booker perspective, We might be getting easier looks because you're no longer the focal point saying, hey, I got to go out and stop this guy. No, Chris Paul is going to be out there making sure everybody gets involved. So from like a team total perspective for the Phoenix Suns, I think you get a bump on that from a perspective of just productivity from everybody else. And also, I doubt that Chris Paul got the COVID diagnosis and just stayed in his bedroom for 7 days and reappeared like, all right, I'm ready to play basketball. I'm pretty sure he got his workout in, because if he was asymptomatic, which is what they were saying, outside of him being around the team, he was probably still getting his shots up, running up and down the court, getting his workouts in, you know, being mindful, hoping that any symptoms show up that he could certainly, you know, quell or calm them down. But there was nothing that said, hey, he's really struggling with this at this point. So plugging a veteran guy back in the lineup, I don't think the Phoenix Suns miss a beat. And as I said yesterday, looking at the line movement here, when Chris Paul, we weren't sure if he was going to come back in, there was some money coming in on the Los Angeles Clippers to push them into the favorite position. But now with Chris Paul coming back to a +1.5 on their home court. I'm not going to fade anything around Chris Paul. I'm not going to take it as, ooh, an ultra boost, but I think the game still plays out about what you would think from a Chris Paul effort here.
It's really interesting. The one obvious change, there are no campaign props available, which makes sense. Campaign off a game where he scored 29 points, getting the lead point guard role and minutes and workload that comes with that. CP3 jumps right back into the mix there. That comes off the board. My instant thought, Donnie, and it's something you alluded to right there, is obviously we're talking about one of the great passers the league has ever seen. This DeAndre Ayton points prop is still 15.5. Ayton's, you know, points plus rebounds has been a winner in both games of the series. His points prop has been a winner in both games thus far of the series. Is this just one of those numbers that the book will never catch up to by the time this series does finish?
Yeah, it does seem like that, because you're looking at a repertoire here. And again, coming back, they needed DeAndre Ayton to step up much more with Chris Paul off the court, getting more rebounding, getting more scoring, because you have to make up for a guy who's roughly going to get 20 points. We'll see if that outlay where now you're not really worrying all that much about Ayton, because you have to focus on Chris Paul, you got to focus on Booker, some of the other guys shooting three-point shots, which it could actually go both directions, because when you have a young kid that finally steps up, Kevin, you don't want that guy to take a back seat again, because you see the game in front of him evolving, the speed slow going down and saying, boy, this guy is really good. And I like the quotes after games with DeAndre Ayton saying, I believe I'm the best young two-way big man in the NBA. Obviously saying, you know, Joel Embiid's that older guy in the NBA. That's the guy I'm chasing down. But a guy that has imposed his will on this series, I don't want to see him take a step back because Chris Paul is out there. I want to see extra effort. And Chris Paul, being a veteran guard, knows, hey, the key to this series, the key to us winning a title, is that this young kid is still engaged in playing basketball at a high level. I think he's going to be all the way in tonight. It'll be fun to watch it play out, though.
Absolutely. Sticking with the props, we might as well. We didn't get to it in Take It or Leave It. Yesterday, though, Donnie and I ventured into the PJ Tucker markets. And a lot of the attractiveness around it was just how low the numbers were. Points plus rebounds was 9.5. I think Donnie put a parlay together that needed him to get 5 rebounds and make like a layup, was paying at like +120. Ivica Zubac is someone, again, with low numbers that got inserted into the starting lineup here in the last game. 14 points, 11 rebounds. We talked about player performance doubles quite a bit yesterday in that game. In today's game, Zubac with 10 plus points in a Clippers win, Donnie, pays out at +340.
It makes a lot of sense, too, because you're right, talking about yesterday. Usually we're eyeing up, you know, player props or points and rebounds from, you know, some of the star guys, which if you took Trae Young on, that's you won fairly easily. But the one we put together yesterday, P.J. Tucker, knowing he's going to be a starter and probably playing, Kevin, at least 30 minutes in a game, and he's not Dennis Rodman, you know? He's also going to be involved in this. He's not Ben Wallace back with the Detroit Pistons, where when he gets the basketball under the rim, he kicks it out because he doesn't want to shoot because he thinks it's cool to have no points and 17 rebounds. He only needed to get yesterday, get this, P.J. Tucker over 4.5 rebounds combined in a parlay with P.J. Tucker over 2.5 points, not 2.5 threes, not 2.5 made baskets, 2.5 points, which cashed in at plus 120. I want to find some value in the card tonight, and you're right, with the center for the Los Angeles Clippers, maybe there is that value that we can find as opposed to saying, hey, let's look at the star players making threes. Mm-hmm. There's some guys that clean up and do some dirty work that you can cash some of these tickets at some plus money numbers that you say, wait a second, that looks really low, Kevin.
Yeah, I'll say on its own merit, Zubac points plus rebounds is an attractive number to me. Last I saw at 16.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, just kind of combining them together. I think overall, this is a very attractive game for your player performance doubles market because of how light the money line is either direction. You pair that, of course, up with one of these props, you're really going to be able to do some damage here and take down nice numbers. But that's a little cart before the horse. We got to figure out who we like in this basketball game. Donnie, it's essentially a pick 'em. Nobody has an issue laying a minus 118 money line, even money on the Clippers to win this basketball game. Do you lean towards the side here?
I do lean towards the Phoenix Suns. And as we check now, the numbers are always changing. When we put numbers up on the board and we talk about those, they can change at any moment. Now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, here, the Clippers plus one now and a minus 102 for the game itself, 221.5 as the total. I do think we get points in this game, but particularly from a side perspective, I know how well the Clippers have played without Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers should have won the last game, and would that have changed our mindsets here if DeAndre Ayton doesn't get the extra timeout and the alley-oop to draw up a play, which they actually admitted in Phoenix, they never even practiced this play. It was drawn up because they had a free extra timeout, which should drive Clippers backers and fans absolutely maddening because they probably would have won that game, and also Paul George makes a couple free throws. But flipping it over to tonight, you're now going back on your home court. We're trying to weigh out the validity of Chris Paul coming back to the lineup, and does that give them a boost? And do they effectively even need the boost because they already won two games without Chris Paul? Chris Paul coming back in the lineup does not hurt the Suns and has a chance to give them the ultimate lift just by seeing their floor general back out on the court in a road environment. But let's not put this one through. There's a reason why, Kevin, the Phoenix Suns are only a one-point favorite with Chris Paul coming back and still no Kawhi Leonard. This is a good Clippers team that has shown the fact that without Kawhi Leonard, they can win. Having said that, I'm not going to go against the Phoenix Suns until I see them lose, because Phoenix and four probably makes a whole heck of a lot of sense at this point, and I'm not going to go against it at such a cheap number. They should be able to go on the road and pick up a victory in this game.
Yeah. And by the way, the Suns have won 9 consecutive games now in this postseason. This has been quite the run for this team. Look, certain things have kind of bounced their way health-wise. A lot of things have bounced their way health-wise. But you still got to go out there and win the games. And that's exactly what Phoenix is doing. With that being said, the Clippers have, to me, earned the backing in a spot like this. They've been down 0-2 in both of the first two series. They've continued to make adjustments. They return to their home floor, where we saw against Utah, two very close first games in the series, blew the doors off the Jazz when they went back home. Now, yes, Kawhi Leonard was around when that was all going down, certainly. But this is the Clippers team that can shoot the lights out, and that's why tonight, I think the team total for the Clippers at 110.5 is the way to back that team here. Maybe they hit it in a victory. Maybe they hit it in a loss. I don't see them missing this number, though, Donnie, and taking down the Phoenix Suns in their own building. I think over 110.5 tonight for the Clips is a strong look.
You're right, and we talked about it the same way we, you know, the Atlanta Hawks going in. There's no way the Hawks are going to score, you know, 100 points and end up taking down Milwaukee on the road. They needed to extend that. Also, when we're talking about team totals, how about last night? Reviewing it at the half on In Play Sports tonight. Hey, 114 looks like a good number for the Milwaukee Bucks in this game. Even got as high as 115.5. What did they end up with? 113. Some of these numbers extremely sharp all the way through. But you are correct. I don't see a defensive battle. 101-99 is the final tonight. There will be a lot of three-pointers made tonight. Just means, Kevin,
yes,
we need our guys to make these three-pointers and have some fun. And maybe the FanDuel Sportsbook does put up another 3x2 that we could partake in after last night's brutal beat when Brooke Lopez dropped a three in the first possession and another seven threes were shot, half of them in and out. Maybe that luck will change tonight, but I agree with you. The pace should be there. The three-point shots should be there. We should have an entertaining night, excuse me, an entertaining game tonight between the Clippers and the Suns.
If there is a 3x2 tonight on Suns Clippers, and you want to tune in to what will either be absolute euphoria or pure misery, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Sports Grid Radio, In Play Sports tonight. Last night, that Bucks-Hawks 3x2 took me out in a way that I do not remember being taken out by a bet in quite a while. And it wasn't about the amount wagered. It was just the way it played out, Donnie. I mean, like, again, Brooke Lopez made it on, I think, the first possession of the game.
Yeah.
Seven more threes followed, all more open than the next. Oh, I hope we get a chance tonight at a Clippers-Suns 3x2, though careful what you wish for. Donnie, quickly, I'll ask you, is there anything else in that player performance doubles market that would be attractive to you? Or do you think perhaps that how close we anticipate this game may be being, not as much value because you have to get the winner right?
You do have to get the winner right, but it's always interesting to me because if you like one of the sides, you might as well tack it on because they're really correlated. Like Chris Paul to get 15 points in a Phoenix win, he's probably going to have to get 15 points on the road for Phoenix to win. Devin Booker to get 30 tonight for a Phoenix win, being the marquee guy at plus 290. They are big prices to pay, but I got to tell you, you're probably going to get some bigger numbers here by backing the Clippers, even though I'm not sure if they can win. So we'll certainly be focused on some things, but those performance doubles are very interesting here on the FanDuel Sportsbook for sure. Sure, Kevin.
And I'll just say the numbers that stick out, Ayton with the Phoenix win, whether it be 15 or 20 points, Ayton with 20 points in a Phoenix win is 50-1, or Reggie Jackson 20 points in a Clippers win is 3-1. I think that's another very interesting number. All right, coming up next here on the early line, Ariel Epstein joins Donnie to let you know what's coming up on the morning after.
Some artists work in clay.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day for the early line. 2 hours in and out. Spent the majority of time marveling at the Atlanta Hawks going on the road once again and taking down the Milwaukee Bucks. Game one of the series. 48 points by Trae Young. Amazing stuff. And the fun always continues right here on the Sports Grid Network. Heading into the morning after with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. Ariel, I know you got an action-packed show today. 48 points by Trae Young yesterday. How about it?
Unbelievable performance by Trae Young, going on the road, goes to Madison Square Garden, goes to Philadelphia, now he's going to Milwaukee, and he's able to get the job done with not only an outright win, but putting a team on his back, especially in the first half. In the first half, Trae Young was one of two players on the Hawks to have double-digit points, also was just points within his points prop of 28.5 within that first half. Second half, a lot of the Hawks players started to pick things back up, and that's what ultimately put Atlanta over Milwaukee yesterday. It was the role players, such as John Collins, their forward.
11 of 16 from the field for John Collins. I mean, they've really stepped up all the way around. Bogdanovich hasn't showed up in the series being injured. You got Huerter stepping up, obviously, in Game 7 versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Big game tonight, also Phoenix and the Los Angeles Clippers. Also, Ariel, in hockey, we might be setting up two Game 7s, one in the Eastern Conference, one in the Western Conference, to get to the Stanley Cup Final. A great game out on the island last night. Any guests coming on today? We breaking down games. What do we got going on here on the morning after?
Of course, and you just brought up hockey. We're going to be joined by NHL.com's Pete Jensen. We also have some great guests like Sam Panayatovich from Nesson and Fox Sports, Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez for his NBA hot takes. There is so much going on the morning after. You've got to stay tuned all 3 hours. Come on, you've got nothing better to do. You don't worry. Just kidding.
No, exactly. Yep, I'm not going to take any naps. I'm making sure I'm making through all the 3 hours, as everybody out there should certainly do. So the early line wraps it up here on a Thursday. We got a big show once again on a Friday, stepping it up before the weekend to have some fun. I'm Donnie Wrightside for also Kevin Walsh. But you guys make sure you keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 204 for Ariel Epstein, Ben Stevens on the morning after. 3 hours to get you guys ready to rock and roll for NHL action, for baseball action, everything you need to be a better gambler right here coming up on the morning after.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right, guys, so check this out. Have you ever heard of Gold Belly? Okay, so it's this amazing site where you can order the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the country, and they will ship it straight to your door. That's right, these guys will ship you Philly cheesesteaks from Jim's or Pat's in Philly, Buffalo wings from the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, and even Kansas City's most legendary barbecue. So if you're looking to host an epic Super Bowl party, go to goldbelly.com and get free shipping and 20% off your first order with promo code GAMEDAY.